Good morning, everybody. My name's Jeff, and I'm one of the leaders out here at Grace North. Also, the second best cajonist, percussionist at Grace North, which is normally where you see me. Probably my preferred location up front is in the back as opposed to being up front, but I get to share with you guys this morning. Peace on earth. We're going to continue in that theme. It was the proclamation of the angels that day to the shepherds. Who doesn't want peace, right? We talked about that last week. It's kind of the common thread for all men. Everybody wants peace. And to be honest, it's hard to line up my experience with the idea of peace. I don't know if you guys feel that way. But sometimes it doesn't feel like peace on earth. So, as an example, I work at a youth center over in Columbia City, and I had two one-on-one conversations this week with some middle school students, just trying to get to know them, and in both cases, they were telling me about their home life and what it was like when they were at home in the evenings with their family, and it breaks my heart. It's a lot of chaos. It's fighting. It's drama. A lot of just, it's messy. Just this week, I had those two conversations. Their family life was the opposite of peace. Their normal experience is the opposite of peace. And I don't know everybody in this room, but I know a lot of you, and I know that in this room, there's parents who have children that have chronic sickness, and they're dealing with their kids being sick and not being able to feel like you can offer relief or help to those kids. I know there's people in here who can't have their own kids because they're dealing with infertility. I know there's people in this room who are personally dealing with chronic sickness and disease, and it's a regular disruptor to their daily life and their family life and their work life. I know there's people in this room that have strained friendships and strained family relationships, people wrestling with major life decisions, not knowing what to do about it, people with deep personal struggles that people may or may not know about, feels hopeless, people who have dealt with cancer, are dealing with cancer, have loved people, loved ones who are dealing with cancer, and that doesn't feel like peace to me. Feels heavy. Feels messy. To be honest, probably not coincidentally, but talking about peace this morning, and I had a very unpeaceful week. Pretty stressful month, and actually this year in our family has felt there's been a lot of transition, stress, messiness. Just a couple of examples. 4 weeks ago, our youngest son Jude came home from school, had just something wasn't right. He wasn't walking normally, and he was diagnosed with some strange condition that makes his joints swell, and his blood vessels would leak blood, which is kind of crazy. It turned out to not be anything really serious, but for about a week, it was kind of scary, not knowing what was going on, and and watching what was typically a healthy boy not want to be his normal, active, fun self. So thank goodness that wasn't anything serious, but I've had some stressful decisions and situations at work recently and even this year where I had to make some people unhappy. I had to disappoint some people. I had to eliminate some jobs and things like that. You know, that stuff is never fun. And this week, as I was preparing to teach about peace, the first half of this week was craziness. I was literally a hot mess for 3 days. Nobody wanted to live up in this space because it was a hot mess. But God's good because I didn't have to live there for more than those few days. Peace on earth. The cool thing about getting together to think about the Christmas story, and even though sometimes it doesn't feel like our experience matches up with this idea of peace on earth, is that there's good news in the Christmas story. Really, really good news. There's hope, and I don't just know it because the Bible tells me so or because we sing songs about it. I know it because I've experienced it personally. And I think that's what God's asked me to share this morning. Stories of Jesus's peace at work in my own life in the midst of messiness, in the midst of my own hot mess. So I just want to pray real quick for us. God, we do worship you. We adore you. And I am so thankful that in spite of the stuff going on around us, the circumstances that we can't control, the really hard stuff, the messy stuff, God, that you offer us hope. And I just want to pray your peace over this room this morning, that people would feel your peace, would know your peace in a real and in a very close way. Amen. So what did the angels mean by peace on earth? By a show of hands, how many of you in the last year have spent any amount of time thinking about peace and what it means? Okay, so maybe, looks like maybe a fourth of the room, a third of the room. Not a ton of us. Let's just do this. Let's take 30 seconds, turn to somebody beside you, and make your best effort, your best guess at what peace on earth means. 30 seconds. Okay, not to interrupt, but I'm going to ask some of you, somebody just say it out loud. I want to hear some of the examples you guys came up with, please.
No violence.
No violence, okay.
Calm.
Oh, calm, thank you. Okay, what else?
Kindness.
God's presence. God's presence, yep. Anything else? All right, well, those are good. You're completely wrong, but those are good. I'm kidding. Let's talk about at least what I think part of peace on earth meant. It's not rocket science here, but peace with God. We'll start there. Peace with God was God's wig. Wig is a wildly important goal. Paul in Ephesians 6 and Romans 10 calls it the gospel of peace. I'd never really noticed that until I started digging in before, that it was referred to as the gospel of peace. Obviously, we don't need peace unless there's conflict. And there was conflict between God and us. We know that in the beginning, there was beauty manifested as peace between Adam and Eve and God, as well as peace between Adam and Eve themselves. But then we know what happened. Brokenness entered the world through the sin of Adam and Eve and immediately disrupted the peace that they had previously had with God and between each other. Forgive me for this little sidebar. Just as I was thinking about peace in the garden, Adam and Eve had so much peace between themselves and God that they were completely comfortable taking naked hikes with him in the garden. Naked hiking. That sounds awesome, by the way. They got kicked out of the garden, not for hiking naked, but for taking the fruit. We know what happened. They were denied perfect and full access to God's presence. They were separated from him. That's when the conflict began. And Adam and Eve's story is our story. We inherited, and we also perpetuate brokenness. Our sin and our brokenness created a distance between us and God. And it wasn't meant to be that way, but thank God that we have a path towards peace with him. In my case, I remember clearly the moment when I made peace with God. I was 14, I was just getting ready to go into high school, and I was on the campus of Liberty University in Virginia, and I was in a crowded gymnasium with about 1,500 other young people, and there was a guy this sounds ridiculous, but he considered himself a one-man volleyball team, much like Scott. But basically, he would be one person, and he would line up against challengers, like a whole other team of people to play him in volleyball, and he would usually beat them. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it was, and none of that really mattered because I don't remember anything the guy was talking about, and I don't actually think it had anything to do with what happened. But I remember sitting in the bleachers, and this is the first time that I remember God speaking to me. I had a quiet, like a peacefulness come over me. So in spite of everything going on around me, there was quiet. And the Holy Spirit put a verse in my mind, and it was from Revelation 3:16. And it says, "Because you are lukewarm, not hot or cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." That's a very weird verse. And how would you like that to be the first thing that God ever says to you? He's getting ready to spit you out of his mouth. But that was what happened to me. And I knew in that moment that God was speaking those words to me specifically, because at that point in my life, I had inherited Christianity and church life from my parents. But when I wasn't in those spaces, I was an entirely different person. And so he was asking me to stop straddling the fence. I had to choose one way or the other. And I did choose in that moment to make peace with Jesus. And my son Caleb actually had kind of a similar encounter when he made peace with God. It was a couple of years ago. Actually, thank you. This is a picture of our family, our friends. I love this picture, even though I think it makes me look a little fat, but and more bald than I actually am. But my Caleb is our second son. A couple years ago, we went to a Good Friday kind of experience where you walk through. Nobody's talking or saying anything. There's just kind of music playing in the background. And you basically navigate the story of leading up to Jesus dying on the cross. You're basically got to read and kind of touch and think about various items that were sitting on the table. And we got most of the way through, and I noticed that Caleb was crying. And to be honest, my first thought when I saw him crying was, what did his brother do? I thought for sure that his brother did something to make him upset. But then I quickly realized that he was that it wasn't that, it was something else. And I got to go over and pull him aside and spend some time talking with him. And it became very evident that he was being moved emotionally, that the Holy Spirit was at work in him. And we got to keep talking, and Caleb made a choice at that point because God spoke to him in a specific way as he was experiencing what Jesus did for him specifically. And he made peace with God. And it doesn't always work that way in like a particular moment, because I know that in our family, it worked that way for Caleb and I, but for Carrie and for Noah, my oldest son, they were younger in age, and for them, making peace with God was a process. It was a series of small and big choices where they chose Jesus. And then over time, you know that they've made peace with God because you see the fruit of it. And so it can look differently as a process, or sometimes it's an experience where we just, God speaks to us and we have to respond in those moments. Peace with God is where it starts, but it doesn't end there. There is another layer of peace that I think is relevant to the peace on earth discussion. And Jesus talked about this peace, and there should be some slides. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, and I have spoken these things so that you may have peace. In this world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." And then Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." In Philippians, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds." And we know in Galatians that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And then lastly, this, because nobody ever quotes Jude, I wanted to put this in there also because it's my third son's name. Jude says, "Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance." Jesus came to make peace with us, but also to share his peace. It's what I would maybe call an inner peace. It's different than making peace with God through spiritual birth, but you typically don't get one without the other. This kind of peace is a benefit. It's a perk of a restored closeness to Jesus. It's the kind of peace that we need in the midst of stress, chaos, struggle, pain, worry, disappointment. I've experienced this kind of peace as well a couple of times in the past month. I'm going to use another story about Caleb here. It just happened this week. It is a story that it allowed me to turn the corner from the first half of my week, where I was very anxious about having to teach this morning and trying to figure out what I might say and what God wanted me to share. I was tucking Caleb in, laying in bed, as I like to do, and talk and read. And I just felt like being vulnerable with him and telling him about how I was feeling. And Caleb, hearing what I was sharing, just turned and said, "Well, Dad, do you want me to pray for you?" Which is, you know, pretty cool in and of itself. But then he prayed, and it was like he was in my head, praying through the thoughts and the feelings that I'd had in that moment. I told you. It's cool what Caleb did, but at that moment, the peace of God came on me. Seriously, not just a, it was a supernatural peace where the craziness swirling around in my head, the thoughts, the feelings, gone. And the next day, I'd been struggling all week, finally had some clarity of thought, where I was able to hear from the Lord. So it was pretty cool. Thank you, Caleb. Just one more story, and we'll wrap it up. Just another example of God's peace in my own life. About 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was actually driving in to come here. I think I was on the worship team that morning, so I had to come in early. I was by myself. I don't even remember what was going on, but I just remembered feeling pretty low. And I was having this conversation in my truck with God on the way over here, and I remember uttering the words, like thinking to myself and talking to him, going, God, am I even one of your children? Because it felt distant. I didn't share this with anybody. Came in, went through the setup and the practice for worship team, joined the prayer time that we normally do before the service, and there was a few minutes between that time and when we got started. And Genevieve Gehrig, who doesn't really know me that well, I don't know if she's here this morning or not, but came over, and she was in tears. And she just felt like God wanted her to share a word with me. And again, I hadn't told anybody, and these were the words that she said. She said, Jeff, I just feel like God wants me to share something with you, and he wants you to know that he loves you, that you are his son. And that you have all of the authority that his sons have. Pretty amazing. Obviously, you can imagine the peace that I felt in that moment. And really what's happening, I think, when God gives his peace, I mean, it's supernatural. Sometimes it's a little more, you know, it feels like a bigger deal, and other times it's simple and it's quiet. It's probably that way a lot more. But just the fact that God hears our thoughts, that he knows what we're going through. It lets us know he's there, his presence. I think that's what the peace of God looks like. I'm not an expert on peace, but I know it when I see it. I know that God's peace is scattered throughout the pages of Scripture, and I know that God's desire for peace is clear. He longs to restore peace with each one of us. As a good dad, he longs to give his peace to his children. And as we're celebrating the coming of Christmas, we know he sent his own son, the only one who is worthy and able to negotiate peace for us. But we have to surrender to the terms of the peace agreement that he's drafted. And he sends his Holy Spirit to give us his peace that we know Scripture says will guard our hearts and our minds in the midst of the messy stuff. That's the good news of the Christmas story. So let's make peace with God. Let's seek his peace. And let's be God's peace to others.